Welcome, everyone, to Basic Gospel, where we have open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, reminding you that if you'll keep listening, you'll learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day and how the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if you're facing some bothersome issue that you'd like to talk through, call now. 1-800-677-9377. Across the country, toll free. 1-800-677-9377. It's basic gospel. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I want to remind our listeners of our offer that we've been doing for the last 5 weeks, The Hurt and the Healer, a wonderful book by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. Many of our listeners have taken advantage of this, making a contribution to the work that God is doing through Basic Gospel. We've sent this as our way of saying thanks. We've just gotten great response from people as to the impact and the value of the book in their lives. So today is the last day on radio that we are offering it, so we want you to take advantage of it. It is available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. All the information on how to contribute to the work God is doing through this outreach is available online at basicgospel.net. But we do want to say thank you and put this resource in your hand. It's interesting. This is a book all about the grace of God, all about the new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in through his death on the cross. And it's this grace of God that heals us. It's this grace of God that enables us to experience peace in the midst of our trials and tribulations. It's the grace of God that changes us from the inside out. It's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. It's the grace of God that gives us hope, that anchors us in the midst of the storms of life. And it's this grace of God that we fully experience in this new covenant that governs our relationship with Christ today. So here's what's going to happen over the next week. Next week, we're going to be spending quite a bit of time talking about the new covenant. And then that's going to lead into the month of October when we are going to take a 23-day journey. And I say 23 days because that's how many broadcast days are in the month of October. A 23-day journey through the book of Revelation. And the new covenant is going to set that up for us to fully understand what John is trying to communicate to us in the book of Revelation. We need to see it through the eyes of grace, through the eyes of the new covenant, because really it is the final piece of good news. It really fills out this good news of Jesus Christ to its fullest place. So we're going to have a lot of fun doing that. Yeah. We want you to participate with us in the month of October. We want you to participate with us next week. But in the month of October, we're going to be sending out daily information about that the particular chapter we're going to be covering that particular day. And if you are a part of our email list, you're going to get that automatically. If you're not a part of our email list, if you have never subscribed to receive information from us via email, we're encouraging you to do so today.
Right.
Go to basicgospel.net. There's a subscribe link. Just follow all the instructions, and then in the month of October, you will be getting these Revelation updates each and every day. Yes. I think this is going to be an exciting time for us.
Absolutely.
It really, really is.
I agree. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel, and if you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling right now, 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call across the country and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk with our good friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
How you doing? How's my family in Carrollton and in New York and everywhere else that you're listening to? I just so appreciate you guys, and thank you, Bob Davis, for returning my email yesterday, where I have fun every day with you guys, and on Sunday. Hey, I was listening to the first half hour of the broadcast on the internet, and I've listened to Frank a couple times now, and he called in and he was trying to support this thing that people can lose their salvation. And you know what? I think people really need to broaden their base on their understanding of this. We have one example of a person who lost the salvation of God, and we can see that that person, the Spirit of God left him, and he died spiritually. That was Adam. So we come all the way through the Old Testament. We come into the New Testament, the New Covenant, and I propose this to people if they would just think about it, that we have an example of people who walked away from God in 1 John 2:19, and the Scripture says that they were never of us. Now, I would suspect that, it's not possible, but if it was possible for a person who is saved and the Spirit of God lives in them, which is what gives us new life and gives us our life, that we would see an example of someone who lost that spirit, because the only way a person can lose that salvation is that spirit of life, that life of God must leave that person, and we have absolutely no examples showing us that above all the Scripture, that where the Holy Spirit will not tell you that you can lose your salvation of God.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. Like I said, salvation is all of Christ. He saves us in this new covenant. He's now the high priest, and he has a permanent priesthood because he lives forever. That's the significance of the resurrection from a priestly standpoint in comparison to the Levitical priesthood. Those guys died, and then somebody else had to step in their shoes and keep that office going. So they could never finish the work, could never complete it, but because Jesus lives forever, he saves completely. And if he saves completely, if that's what the Word of God says, then when I'm saved completely.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing that's going to change that. He delivers me, he rescued me, and he's going to deliver me into the very presence of God when I'm absent from this body, or if he decides to come back, he's coming back to get me. That's his promise. And the work that he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection guarantees it all.
You know, it's amazing. All these people who we disagree with, and they disagree with us, keeps making a statement that a person can walk away from God. You know, they can walk out of God's hands. Yet, we don't see anyone doing that in the New Testament in particular, except those ones that God said they were never of us. So there's really no support for that statement that a person can walk away from God.
Yeah, we have to realize, Brad, and you make a good point there, and Richard, let's talk about this for a little bit.
I'll get off the phone and let you guys talk.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Brad. Thanks for your call. The New Testament speaks quite often about false prophets. Mm-hmm. Jesus talks about false prophets in the Sermon on the Mount. He deals with them. We see them described as wolves in sheep's clothing. We see them as described as masquerading as angels of light. We see lots of descriptions about false prophets. Well, where are false prophets going to do their business?
Oh, inside the church.
Inside the church. They're not going to do their business outside the church. They're going to try to trip up the saints. That's what they're going to do. They're going to try to come in. They're going to try to bring in false doctrine, false teaching. They're going to make all kinds of promises, and they're going to try to lead some astray. Well, lots of those people, when they come in, they're going to profess knowing Jesus personally. That was what was happening in 1 John. That's why he wrote that letter, because there were a lot of people coming in professing with their lips that they knew the one true God, but it wasn't true. They had never entrusted themselves to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, they were believing false information about Jesus. They believed that he was just a spirit being, that he never actually came in the flesh. They believed that they were sinless, or that sin was irrelevant, was a non-issue. And that's what they believed. And they tried to insert those heretical doctrines into the body of believers. And John wrote and said, no, it's not going to happen. It's not true. And he really points the finger at them and says, if you believe that Jesus did not come in the flesh, you are Antichrist. You are operating under the spirit of Antichrist. And it was those folks that ended up leaving. And what John says about them, they left because they were never a part of us. Mm-hmm. They had never come into the true fellowship, that being with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So there's lots of false prophets who come in, who profess to know Jesus, and then they walk away. And we look at those folks and we say, wait a minute, they said that they were Christians, and now they're walking away from God. No, they're not. They never knew God. Mm-hmm. They were never brought into the fold. They're walking away from truth because they've never believed truth. And they were getting too close, and that truth was about to expose them for what they were and what they are. And so they're walking away. So we say, oh, no, they can lose salvation. Never had salvation.
No. Yeah, this shows the incredible danger of any taste, even, of behaviorism. If I'm looking at other people or looking at myself on the basis of how am I performing, then I have just painted myself into a corner, logically, spiritually, and behaviorally. And there is no life in behaviorism. There is only confusion. Jesus said himself, don't judge. Paul echoed him, don't judge, because we can't possibly know what someone's spiritual condition is. We think we do, and we think we have fellowship with someone because they use the right words and they're friendly and all of this. It is God's decision, God's knowledge alone who determines whether I'm saved or not. And he can confirm that to me, but he's not going to confirm my salvation to anyone else. It's up to us to, with the Spirit's discernment, help each other to draw closer to Jesus Christ, to do as Jesus said, to know him, to know God. That's eternal life. Not to behave properly or not to run amok because I think I'm under grace. It's all about knowing Jesus and him alone and letting everything else fall under the context of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Almost every person that I've ever met that holds to this doctrine that you can lose your salvation, they do so because they know somebody who walked away.
Yeah.
I had a childhood friend, and we walked down the aisle together, and boy, we had Bible study together, and then he grew up, and I grew up, and, you know, when he reached 35, he was rejecting the Christian faith, and he was embracing something else. Well, what does that say about him? Is that he always looked at the Christian faith from afar. He never fully embraced it. Yes, he tasted some of it, but he had never fully digested the good news of Jesus Christ. So the person who sees him, quote, walking away, gosh, how can I explain that? Well, maybe some of these passages that seem to be confusing are telling that story, that we can lose salvation. But when you go that route, then you have to make all the other passages that say, hey, salvation is complete, say something else.
Yeah.
And then you're just all confused.
Yeah. And then you get the other side of that coin, which says, and this is where I lived when I was coming to Jesus. I was the guy who you looked at and said, wow, you know, there's someone who's a true Christian. And when I was finally confronted with who Jesus was, I had to leave what I used to believe. So for all the world, to those people, it looked like I had rebelled and walked away from Jesus. And what was really happening is I was walking away from a belief system that was killing me.
Right.
And I was walking to Jesus. In both cases, the person who you think is saved and is lost, and the person you thought was saved and now you think is lost is not, we can't look at the behavior. We can only look to Jesus.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good point there.
Plenty of open lines. If you want to be a part of this conversation at Basic Gospel, we encourage your call right now. Time on the clock. Open lines, 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377. Somewhat related, an email question from David, who writes to us from Washington. It concerns obedience and the new covenant. He says, my church mixes law and grace all the time. In the same breath, they say that God sees us righteous through the prism of Jesus Christ and that he remembers our sins no more. Then they turn around and say that if we don't obey his laws, like tithing, forgiving others so that God will forgive us, then the regulations that are added to the church body, such as if you want to be in leadership, you have to tithe correctly, speak in tongues, attend two mandatory prayer meetings a month, and if we don't obey, God will punish us and we'll reap what we have sown. It definitely seems like it is sin conscious and not grace conscious. What do you say? Is it time to leave this church?
Well, good question. With that, you know, we're never going to sit here and say, you know, you need to leave this or leave that. That has to be a decision that you make individually. You have to trust Jesus Christ. You have to rely on the Spirit of God to lead you out. What we normally say to folks in a situation like that, obviously there's some confusion going on. There's mixed teaching. If you have a platform within that body where you can maybe help others kind of really clear up that confusion and really put them on a solid foundation as far as this new covenant is concerned, take advantage of that. If that's taken away from you, then maybe it's time to leave. Maybe it's time to look elsewhere. One thing that we also always encourage you to do, a person to do, is to sit down with the pastor and to talk with the pastor. But it sounds like there's a lot of stuff going on in this church, you know, kind of some lip service to the grace of God. We're saved by grace. But here's the stuff that really matters. You know, we're looking for the givers. If you're not giving 10%, then you just don't meet what we're looking for. You're not living up to our standards.
And in this case, God will punish because they reap what they've sown. That's what he's saying.
Right. Yeah. So that's the real stuff. That's what they're really interested in. You know, like I said, there's grace over here, but here's the important stuff, and you better be living up on this stuff. Well, if that's the case, then, you know, it may be time to talk to the pastor and say, hey, do you realize that you're talking out of both sides of the mouth? And if they say, well, this is what's important to us, then I think that gives you your decision.
Yeah, absolutely. But don't leave mad.
Yes.
Just make a principled, Spirit-led decision.
Yes.
Don't go away mad, just go away.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, let's go out to Oakland, California and talk to Joanne, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Great to listen to your station. I really appreciate all the knowledge that you have and wisdom that you give us. Thank you.
Well, thank you. How can we help you today?
Yes, my question is, I am Catholic and my husband is Protestant, and consequently, we have a disagreement about praying to Mary. In Catholicism, we're all saints, even those of us on earth, and I pray to Mary as for intercession. May I have your thoughts, please?
Well, Joanne, you know, she can't intercede for you. I mean, there's nowhere in the Word of God that says she is an intercessor for you. Only Jesus serves that role. And so that's why the Word of God says pray to him. Pray to God the Father through him. So Mary, you know, there's no indication that she could hear your prayer anyway. It's God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son that hears us, that is attentive to our needs here and now. And so the Word of God is very, very clear about that. So you could pray to Mary, and even if she could hear you, she doesn't have the power to answer. She doesn't have the power to fulfill a request. Only God does. And right. he does that through Jesus Christ. So you're not going to find anywhere in the Word of God that says pray to Mary. And that's, I think, as far as the Catholic Church is concerned, they are making Mary out to be something much more than what the Word of God makes her out to be. You know, as far as the Word of God is concerned, she was just like you and just like me, a person sinful who needed a Savior. And Jesus Christ was her Savior. And Jesus Christ saved her, just like he saved you, and just like he saved me.
Right.
So.
Well, that's a great answer. I really appreciate your time.
Does that make sense to you, Joanne?
Totally.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, let me do this. All right. We have a great resource called The Hurt and the Healer. I would love to give it to you, okay?
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, hang on. Let me put you on hold, and we'll get this to you. And if you have any other questions, we would love to hear from you.
I really appreciate your invitation. I may just do that. Thank you very much.
Okay, Joanne, you hold on.
Thanks, Joanne.
Well, let's go to Patricia in Wilmington, North Carolina. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I'm on the road, but so I don't know the exact scripture, but on the, as far as the once saved, always saved, what in the story of the lampstand, the lamp stands or something, and it's like the virgins that come in or whatever, at the end of it, it says that some were ready and prepared and some were not. Do you know which story I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. The 10 virgins, and the master was gone, and they said, you know, keep oil with you, be prepared. And 5 decided they just want to go and do their thing, give their attention to the things of the world and carry on that way. They didn't want to prepare themselves for his coming. The other 5 said, we want to be prepared. And so they had oil available to them. And so when he came, the oil was there. So what it's a story of is being prepared for that future return of Christ. Well, how do we prepare ourselves? Well, through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what prepares us for his second coming. Oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. So the 5 that had the oil, that is picturing those who have prepared themselves through faith in Jesus Christ and have been given the oil of life called the Holy Spirit. The other 5 are pictured as those who have rejected, who have not prepared themselves, and do not have life. It's a very simple picture. So, Patricia, today we hear a lot of talk about end times. Is Jesus going to return? Could it be today? Could it be tomorrow? And lots of folks get scared by that. And the reason they're frightened is because they haven't prepared themselves. They've never fully embraced the saving life of Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much. Because I've always thought that was the case, but I've heard people say, no, those were all Christians and some of them had fallen away. And I never could wrap my head around that. I just didn't think that was the case.
Yeah, well, I think you had some discernment on there, Patricia, and it sounds like you are prepared, that you have come to know Christ, and when he comes back, you'll be ready to meet him. Is that right?
I am so ready. Yes.
That's great news, Patricia. Thanks for your call today.
Yeah, this month we've been saying thank you for your gift of any amount by sending you a copy of the Bard Millard Andrew Farley book, The Hurt and the Healer, and many of you have made generous gifts to Basic Gospel and have received a copy of the book. But at the end of the day, that offer goes away. Time is running out, so make sure that you get to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net today to request your copy, or you can call and speak with Billy, our customer service representative, before 6 p.m. Eastern or 5 p.m. Central Time today at 1-800-727-2828. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828. When you go online, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And also, we'd like you to join our email list for all the reasons Bob Christopher alliterated just a little while ago. You can do that by clicking subscribe in the upper menu at basicgospel.net. So until Monday at the same time, for Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis, God bless you and have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye.